either reserve. You're listening to leaders.com. Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, Inshallah, just to continue from our last session, we are looking into a very important topic, how the minority should live amongst the majority. How the minority should live amongst the majority. When we look into the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Muslims were also a minority in Makkah Mukarrama. And so, just to quickly recap, when Nabuwat was given to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the age of 40, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed in Makkah Mukarrama for 13 years. In the 13 years, he had a following of 250 people. And then he left for Madinatul Munawwara. When he went to Madinah Munawwara, in the first 4 years of Madinah Munawwara, he had a following of another 2,500 individuals. And then later on, when he performed his Hajj, he had over 150,000 companions that accompanied him. And then during the last days of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this dunya, the entire Arabian Peninsula had embraced Islam. As the Quran says, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. And so, what was the action plan of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when the Muslims were a minority? Number one, the minority should be united all the time. The minority should be united all the time. Every single one of them is united. This is something very, very important. And then number two, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made sure that every revert, at that time every sahabi who embraced Islam, he is a da'i. What is he? Da'i. Da'i means that he is going to speak to the wider community, educate them, explain to them that Islam is your birthright. Islam is your birthright. You were born Muslims. And so accept Islam. And so every Sahabi took on this mission that they would talk to people, they would invite people towards Islam. And in doing so, mashallah, the entire Arabian Peninsula had embraced Islam. So what we learn as people who are in the minority in terms of religion, it is our duty that we invite people towards Islam. This is something very, very important. And we covered all that in our last session. Inshallah ta'ala, just to continue from there, the third point which is very important, What are we to do as a minority that have settled here in this country? What is our duty? The third point is that we have to remember our history. What is the third point? We have to remember our history. No matter what you are taught in your schools, colleges, universities, but as people of Iman, we have to make sure that we know our own history. We know the Islamic history. If you look at the Quran also gives us a lesson in history. The Quran speaks about Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. The Quran speaks about Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam. The Quran speaks about Nuh alayhi salam, his entire life, history. The Quran speaks about Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wassalam. The Quran speaks about the creation of the heavens and the earth. So a lot of history is also in the Quran, the Kalam of Allah in the Sunnah. So as Muslims, we must know our history. If you don't know your history, then slowly what will happen, everything will disappear from you. So history is something that is very, very important. That is why in the madrasa, you will find that the seerah of Anbiya and the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is taught. In fact, you will see a period of time from the 8th century to the 13th century, coinciding with that period of time which was known as the Dark Ages in Europe. The Dark Ages in Europe. This was considered to be the golden age and the golden era in the Muslim Empire. From the 8th century to the 13th century. The house of knowledge, the house of wisdom in every center. And it was open to everybody. Hospitals were open. We talk about NHS. In the Islamic Khilafat, subhanAllah, everyone was treated free of charge. Operations were free. From physicians to philosophers, every discussion, subhanAllah. The astronomical observatory, the first one was in the Islamic Empire. The most accurate world map was with the Muslims. SubhanAllah. In every field, you will see that the Muslims had excelled. But it came to a tragic end. It was only the Mongols, Jahangir Khan, in the 13th century, this zalim came out. Because he could not see Islam spreading so rapidly. And these were people who were zalimeen. And they came and subhanAllah, Iraq came to an end. They destroyed all the scholars, professors, teachers, ulama, imams. The masjids were made shaheed. In their thousands, subhanAllah, Muslims were killed. And also all of the Islamic books were completely destroyed. Historians have said if it was not for what happened with the Mongols, Jahangir Khan, we don't know, subhanAllah, how far the Muslims would have gone in this modern world today. But it was only a stop that came from Jahangir Khan at that time. So we are people that we should know our history. This is something very, very important. Islam is not just a religion that you do ruku, sujood, stand, do ibadat. Islam is a religion that invites you to progression, invites you towards education. You will find a lot of right-wing extreme Hindus today in India that even when Muslims want to air their opinion, they will translate that in such a way that they will say to the Muslims, well, if you don't like our homeland, India, go to Pakistan. Ye taana dete. What do they say? Go to Pakistan. What have Muslims contributed for India? Maybe they don't know their history. Maybe they don't know their history. Muslims were at the forefront when it comes to India. Allahu Akbar. Muslims ruled for 1,000 years India. But that is, again, just one segment of Indian history. But when the British had ruled India, they had formed one way of punishing people at that time, that anybody who spoke about independence was immediately executed, or the second most severe punishment that was given to them was they would be exiled in certain islands that were known as Kala Pani. What were they called? Kala Pani. Nicobar Islands. What is it? The Andabar Nicobar Islands. This is where people were exiled. And nobody would know of them. Severe punishment. They were exiled there. So when you look at Indian history before independence in 1947, it is registered and documented that the most of the people that were in Nicobar Islands, what is known as Kala Pani, most of the community that was there was Muslims. Most of the people. They were the ones who were at the forefront for independence. And so when somebody tells you that, you know, what have the Muslims done? We should know our history. We should know our history. There was an article in the Guardian newspaper. The forgotten 250 million Muslim soldiers that traveled Europe to fight with their allies in World War I. 250 million Muslims that fought in the World War I in the trenches. When they came from hot countries, they had to come in Europe. Imagine how cold it was. And they were in the trenches. So Muslims have been everywhere. Allahu Akbar. Of course, this is again another part of history that, of course, you have the Ottoman Empire and, you know, this came to an end. But generally speaking, you will find that a lot of sacrifice also comes from the Muslims. So this again is something very, very important, my respected brothers, that we must know our history. We must know our history. Very, very important. That is why you will find that in the UK, because they have colonized different countries, today you will find that all of these countries that they have colonized are now here with different languages, different colors. So they are here. All of them are here. Now again, the scholars have also mentioned what we learn from the seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam is that two things are very important for a minority. When you are a minority living in a country that is a majority, number one, it is important that we learn the language of that country. What is it? We learn the language of that country. So alhamdulillah, that is not a problem. We all speak English. We all speak English, hopefully. So we have to learn English. This is very important. So in any part of the world you go, you have to learn the language of that country. But at the same time, you also have to preserve your mother tongue. So the duty that is given to the minority is in two folds. Number one, you learn the language of that country. And number two, you also preserve your mother tongue. So that is where we get a hit. We speak English today, but we don't, our children don't know how to speak Gujarati, Urdu, Kachi, and any Urdu, Punjabi, any other language, Bangladeshi. They don't know that language. Even the father, even the mother, how are you, baby? Mashallah, eat cornflakes? When they go to India, then they are looking at stars also at daytime. Because they can't talk to anybody. Huh, but Ajeeb, Indian film samajh mein aati. Ye sari Ajeeb baatein hoti. So, bhai, it is so important. Even now it is not late. Even now it is not late. The difference is Sahaba, when they went out, Arabic was a must for them. What was it? Oh, it was not that they went out and they forgot Arabic. Never ever do you see this with the Sahaba, Tabi'een and Tabi Tabi'een. Wherever they went, they took their language. Their language was a must. And they gave their language to their children But at the same time, they were educated and they spoke also that language. Subhanallah. The people who went to Bukhara, they also spoke that language. Russian, whatever language, Chinese, they spoke. But at the same time, Arabic was preserved. So this is something which is very, very important, my respected brothers and elders, for us to understand that we must know our history, and also we must also speak our own language and also the English language. And then the scholars have mentioned point number 4, that you have to preserve your visual identification. What is it? You have to preserve your visual identification. Preserving your visual identification in a country in which you are a minority, this is something also very important. Now, what is your first visual identification? Your first visual identification, the ulama have said from the seerah, is that Muslims are people of tawheed. What are they? People of tawheed. It must be known to the people, to the wider community, that okay, these are Muslims. And what do we know about Muslims? Muslims don't ascribe any kind of partnership to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't ascribe any kind of partnership to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something that is very, very important. That they don't do shirk. And when Muslims live in that community, they have to preserve tawheed. What do they have to do? Preserve tawheed. It shouldn't be, oh, Merry Christmas ji, achhi Diwali ji, I'll come to. Bhai, what is happening? You have to preserve your tawheed. Let people do whatever they want. Let people enjoy whatever they want to enjoy. But you have to preserve your tawheed. This is your identification. Sahaba-e kiram ajma'een for decades, if not centuries, were people who were worshipping idols. Were they not? Their forefathers were worshipping idols. But subhanallah, when Islam came to them, did they do any kind of shirk thereafter? When Islam came to them? Zero tolerance to shirk. Halaki, they were people, mushrikeen, but they never ever did shirk thereafter. There was this journalist who wrote an article that in India, they say that the Muslims and the Hindu community can never be united. But this journalist, who is not a Muslim, a Christian man, he says, but I say that the Muslims and Hindus can be united. And you know what he said? He said, when I traveled to India, I saw the Hindu community, how they worship in the mandir and what Muslims do at the mazar. What Muslims do at the mazar, at the shrine of a pious person who has passed away at the mazar. He said, as someone who is not a Hindu and not a Muslim, when I looked at the Hindu community and when I looked at the Muslim community, I don't see any difference. What did he say? Can you imagine? Afsos ki baat, that a non-Muslim is saying that I can't see the difference between the Muslims and the Hindus. Who is saying there is no unity? There is always going to be unity and they will always be one. This happens when you lose your identity. And your identity is tawheed. What is it? Your tawheed. Allah give jazai khair to our scholars. You know, we call our ulama very orthodox people, old-fashioned. Subhanallah, these are the people who are the pillars of Islam. What are they? The pillars of Islam. If these pillars of Islam were not there, today your children, my children, our generation would have long lost, would have been lost and would have left us. Long time ago. But these are our pillars, subhanallah al-azim, that who have enforced inside us, that we have to make sure that subhanallah, our tawheed is very, very strong. And you see this with Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in. Abdullah ibn Huzaifa As-Sahmi. Abdullah ibn Huzaifa As-Sahmi was actually caught by this Roman king along with 70 of his followers, 70 of his group that were there. And so they were caught. Abdullah ibn Huzaifa was a very famous Sahabi. And so the Roman king said to him that, Tanassar, why don't you become a Christian? So he said, never. He says, oh, you will. He says, no, I will never become a Christian. He says, you will. So he says, you see his followers that are there, go and get one person. So one Muslim was brought to that person. In those days, they would have this huge, huge, gigantic pot. And this pot was called Baqara. What was it called? Baqara. It's called Baqara because it was so big that you could actually cook one whole cow inside it. So it was called a Baqara. And so that was filled with hot boiling oil. And so he said to the soldiers that push this Muslim man into that Baqara, into that pot. And he was dropped into that pot. Obviously, he was shaheed instantly. So he said to Abdullah ibn Huzaifa as-Sahmi that this is what is going to happen to you. This is what is going to happen to you. Accept Christianity. So he says, no. He says, okay, go get another person. So now when another person comes along, the guards come to him and says that, you know, we can see Abdullah ibn Huzaifa is crying. He's got tears coming out. So this Roman king looked at Abdullah ibn Huzaifa as-Sahmi. He says, oh, you're crying. So you are now ready to become a Christian. He says, no, no, you got everything wrong. I am crying to my Allah that, Ya Allah, I will only sacrifice one ruh, one soul. Allah, kash you gave me 100 lives, I would have given 100 lives to you. He was so shocked and amazed by this conviction, this faith, this iman, this tawheed, the oneness of Allah, that he took him to the side, admired him for his guts, you know, for his courage. And said to him, look, Abdullah, you know what? I want to do a deal with you. You marry my daughter and I will give you half my kingdom. Look at the bribery. Marry my daughter and I will give you half my kingdom. Tanassar. He said, never. Now he was embarrassed that his iman, to break it, was so difficult. He does not even want the daughter. And he is not even prepared, subhanallah, you know, to take half of the kingdom. So he says, okay, look, there is no other deal that I can make with you, but I admire you for your bravery. I am going to go inside in front of everyone and I will allow you to walk free with your people, provided you show me respect as the king here and kiss me on my forehead. Kiss me on my forehead. So he was a faqih. He was a learned man. So he said, that I accept. That I accept. He was intelligent. So anyway, he went along and in front of all the people, Abdullah ibn Huzaifa as-Sahmi kissed the forehead. And as promised, all the 69 with him, 70, were given complete freedom to go and walk out. And then he entered Medina Munawwara. And he greeted Hazrat Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala an. Hazrat Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala an heard about this. And he said to Hazrat Abdullah ibn Huzaifa, Abdullah, stand up and call all of the companions. The entire masjid was filled with sahaba. And he said, I, Umar, the Khalifa of the Muslimin, am going to kiss your forehead. I'm going to kiss your forehead. And he kissed the forehead of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Huzaifa. And so our identification, our shanakht, you know, this is something very, very important. This is something we should not lose. So also your identification after tawheed is your dress code. What is it? Dress code. That it should not be that the Muslims have completely abandoned the Islamic dressing. Completely abandoned dressing. That should not be the case. That alhamdulillah, people must know when they look at women in town that it should be easy for them to say, Okay, the ladies that are covered, modest dressing, with haya, they are Muslims. What are they? Muslim women will not show their body parts. Because they are not cheap. They are not cheap. Alhamdulillah. You know, you have a diamond. Do you expose the diamonds everywhere? You will hide it. You will hide it. You have 50 pound notes. Do you just leave it out your pocket and look at all my notes? Do you do that? Nowadays in London, you know, if you're talking on your mobile phone, you have people who are on their bikes and they snatch your mobile phone. They snatch your mobile phone. And then you cry that, you know, this lady was raped and this lady was abused and this is what had happened in the pub and this is what happened. Well, it is going to happen, isn't it? All of these things are going to happen. If you incite, these are the things that are going to happen. Subhanallah al-Azim. And so a Muslim lady should make sure that she, her attire is preserved. She wears an abaya, she wears a scarf. Also for the Muslim men, alhamdulillah, when they go out, people should know that they are people of Iman. They have a beard. Alhamdulillah. You know, you might wear a jabba if you can, there's a possibility, wear it. And you might have your topi. Not necessarily that you have to and have to wear, but Islam mein itni sakhti bhi nahi hai, kya? Itni sakhti bhi nahi hai. You can wear whatever you want, provided your satar is concealed. Provided your satar is concealed. But what we are saying is that for the Muslims to abandon their Islamic clothing completely, this would be tragic. This would be a tragedy. Because it is important for people to know that Muslims are around. So your visual identity is also very, very important, my respected brothers. So alhamdulillah, when you're driving at the madrasa time, you see our beautiful angels. You will see our beautiful angels. Mashallah, young children with very beautiful white kurta, and our young daughters and girls, mashallah. And when they are going to the madrasa, making assalamu alaikum, this beautiful environment that is created. This is something also very, very important. And we have to follow that with every generation that is going to come. That is why the masjid and the madrasa is the backbone. What is it? The backbone. When you turn away from the masjid and the madrasa, everything will collapse. Then from the seerah, the ulama have mentioned that the local population, the people who are the majority, they must see you all the time. You should be at sight to them. They must know, okay, that the Muslims are here. What are they? That these are Muslims. It should not be that we are only in our area and that we don't mix and integrate with other people. It should not be. But the Muslims should be everywhere. We should be in the faces of people that, okay, these are the Muslims and the Muslims are here. And so how is that going to work? How are you going to put yourself in the wider community? Number one, by charitable works. What is it? The Muslims should engage in charitable works. So if you know of people that are homeless, mashallah, to support them. Huh? Food distribution. This is also something very, very important. I told you of a friend who said to me that they had sponsored looking after dogs who will aid people who are blind. Mashallah. Mashallah. Charitable works. Not just for the Muslims, but also for the non-Muslim community. So they see you, when they see you, they know that mashallah, no, the Muslims are very good people. Our Muslim neighbors are the best people. They are supporting us. They are supporting us to help people who are in need. Even if you are in the bus, in the train, and sometimes you see someone who's elderly, mashallah, just to stand up and say, you can take a seat. This also has an impact. So become charitable people. That is why we have one concept in Islam, which is called zakat. What is it? Zakat. Zakat is for the needy amongst the community, amongst the Muslim community. And then we have another concept, which is nafal sadaqah. What is it? Nafal sadaqah. Nafal sadaqah is for anyone. Nafal sadaqah is for anyone. And a person will also be rewarded for that. So these are the things that we should look at, charitable works. Number two, as Muslims who are minority in this country, our duty is to help the economy of this country. See what is happening with Brexit. I can't even follow Brexit now. I don't even know what is happening now. Huh? So, subhanAllah, support the economy. So Muslims must not be people who are only taking benefits. And that as if Muslims are not giving something back to the community. Not at all. We should completely be independent. MashaAllah, we should be people who are giving. What are they? We should be, if you, an example that I always give is of the Chinese community in Malaysia. What is it? The Chinese are everywhere. What are they? In Africa, you go, Chinese have taken over everything. Hamara Zambia, to it's the colony now, of Chinese colony. It's gone to the Chinese. SubhanAllah. So if you look at the Chinese in Malaysia, if the Chinese were to walk out from Malaysia, the economy of Malaysia would come down, stand still, collapse. So that is why the local Malaysians, Muslim Malaysians, have to bend their backs and salute them and say, yes sir, yes sir, yes sir. Whatever the Chinese want, we want this. Yes, of course. Why? Because they dictate money. What is it? They dictate. Money is a great ni'mat, my respected brothers and elders. Ye paisa ek bahut badi ni'mat. But the problem today is we don't know how to use the money. We don't know how to channel the money. This is big fitna, really. You need classes. You need to understand how to spend that money. This is also in Sharia. Also in Sharia. So again, to help the economy. MashaAllah, to have businesses, to open up such businesses that you are also contributing. For people to know, okay, these are Muslim businesses now. Alhamdulillah. A thriving Muslim community, which is very, very important. And then also, for the Muslims to enter into the political framework. Again, this is something very important for the Muslims to do. Muslim MPs and good Muslim counselors, and also teachers. We want Muslims that have written educational books that are taught to our children in the universities. And who is the author? Muslims. That is how it should be. That is how we should be educated. This is something that is very, very important, my respected brothers. And we want MPs. Now, please, I don't want brothers to feel bad. I will say something to you which is my experience. That a lot of the times when you see university graduates, professional people, they are professionals, but they haven't got the Muslim mindset. What is it? They haven't got the Muslim mindset. In fact, sometimes you will find a so-called individual who has a Muslim name conveniently will say that he is a Muslim, but he is more trouble to the Muslim society than even someone who was not a Muslim. Really. Sometimes that person who is a Muslim, he is more problematic for you in your community than even that person who is not a Muslim. Why? Jo Musliman hote hai na kabhi kabhi. Wo chamche bhi hote hai, hushyari zyada marte hai. Kya karte hai? Hushyari zyada marte hai. Really, brothers. I was reading that Muslim lady, Mehreen, in Australia, the first Muslim senator. And she said that she is against the traditional manner of slaughtering, as in the halal system in Islam. And she is the Muslim, first Muslim senator in Australia. And she is against that. Can you imagine that? Now, if these are the people who are going to represent the Muslims, what is going to happen to the Muslim community? The Home Secretary Salim Javed Saab. What is his name? Javed Salim or? Sajid? Sajid? Javed. Sajid. Huh? Home Secretary. What a position. Home Secretary. Can you imagine what a position? Sajid Javed. But good for nothing. Sajid, Javid, Home Secretary, but good folk, nothing. When the Muslim Council of Britain had accused the Conservative Party for Islamophobia, he was the first one to shout out that as a Muslim I say that Muslim Council of Britain are not representing all of the Muslims, so we don't want to listen to you. Drinking alcohol. Do they even know the Ayatul Kursi? Do they even know how to recite the Quran? But they say that we are a Muslim, we are representing. Allahu alam, Allahu alam. So the problem is when you have individuals who don't have the Muslim mindset, then you are not actually representing the Muslims, are you? That is why the Islamophobes will very carefully select hypocrites. What will they select? Hypocrites. Munafikeen who call themselves Muslims, but in reality they are not Muslims. And also that when you read a newspaper article and if it is against Islam and mashallah, immediately you must email, immediately you must respond, immediately you must write an article to the newspaper. They must show your article. This is your khidmat. You can read 100 rakat nafal salah, but for you to be in your office and doing this khidmat will be a grand khidmat that comes from you. A grand khidmat that comes from you, my respected brothers. So these are things that are very, very important that people must know that the Muslims are here. Also, so for an example, where you have the Muslim population that is living, we have to make sure there is discipline. Our household, our neighborhood is clean. What is it? Our neighborhood is clean. So somebody who is not a Muslim that is passing by our neighborhood, mashallah, when they see the Muslim environment, the Muslim neighborhood, they say, subhanallah, very disciplined people. What are they? Very disciplined people. This is something again very, very important. In India, when you go, you have all these special nights. You know, they have so many nights. Subhanallah. You know, the Barelvi community, they have a celebration kind of every month. And so what happens in the night, speakers, there is Naat and Nazam and Naat, 2 o'clock a.m., 3 o'clock a.m., 4 o'clock a.m., bichare, what do you think the Hindu community will think about you? Is this Islam? 3 o'clock, somebody is praising Huzur alayhi salam on the mic, and from the minarets, the mics are all loud outside. No parking, no nothing, and hey, tarif. And in the morning, fajr time, everybody is sleeping, and what did you do? Baya, mashallah, raat ko mehfil achi thi, khana khaya, ye kiya. But you, how are you going to promote Islam? How are you going to promote Islam? Even in this country, mashallah, you know, we give adhan, they have given us the permission, but we don't give adhan that is it is going to disturb other people. And the permission of adhan is given in a residential area where predominantly you have the Muslim community that is there. So alhamdulillah, that is something that is very, very good. And then my respected brothers, point number 6, which is very important for the minority, and this is the most important thing that we have to do. That is taking control of media. What is it? Media is the most, most powerful tool. Look at Rupert Murdoch, after his father who died, CEO of all of these corporate news companies, journals that are there. 2/3 of the news journals in Australia, he owns it. Sky, Fox News, Sun, The Sun, News of the World, Times, and so many other news journals, all controlled by him. $18.1 billion net worth. $18.1 billion net worth. Rupert Murdoch. Everything in his control. He is so powerful that he can shake the Conservative Party and he can shake also the Labour Party. There was an effort to deride Jeremy Corbyn. Kya hai? Labour Party ka leader. And for a long period of time, complete support was given by the newspapers to the Conservative Party. And so when you look at the Muslim world, there is so much money. So much money that people can do khidmat. But what Muslims do? Syria ko paisa do. Iraq ko paisa do. MashaAllah. Afghanistan give paisa. Africa mein paisa de do. Yahan, oh bhai. How are you giving your money? Arey bhai, give your money towards dawat. Give your money towards promote. Give your money protecting Iman and Islam. What are you? People don't know how to give money. Forgive me, my respected brothers and elders. Look at this man, how clever they are. They have the complete media. Complete media. However they want to show. Look at my audience, only a few people that are here. And who is it going to have an effect on? Who? How many people are going to benefit from this lecture? How many? But if you have the media, if you have the tools, the gadgets, mashallah, if you have your own, mashallah, media, that is a just portrayal of what is happening in the world, then you see, mashallah, that everything can change. So this is something that is also very, very important, my respected brothers. Also another thing I will say, that support the organizations that are there to support the Muslim community. Organizations like MEND. Organizations like MEND. Organizations like the CAGE. What is it? These are good organizations that are responding to the government, answering their questions, tackling Islamophobia. We are just sitting. They are doing the good works. So support them. MEND, the CAGE. These organizations are very, very good. Even support them financially. So media should be in our control, my respected brothers. What was the media in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Huh? Ustad Hafiz Suleiman, media batao. Poetry. What was it? Poetry was the most powerful media in Arabia. Very powerful. To break this media, Allah revealed the Quran. Tells you how powerful the Quran, when that was read and recited by the Qurra, the poets would fall unconscious. And when they would go in jihad, and when they would want to spoil somebody's name and character assassination and talk bad about people, the poets were people who would control. And they were feared. People were scared of the poets. Because any time they could write something about you, against you. So people would respect the poets. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, looking at the environment, prepared the poets. And many, many poets were there. And the most famous poet was Hassan bin Thabit. He was brilliant. He became a top poet in Arabia, Hassan bin Thabit. And so today the Muslims are far away from media. What are they? Far away from media. So media, these tools are very, very important. Now, I got a text message, WhatsApp. Modern Maulvis. What are we called? Modern Maulvis. So, and I read the text message sent to me, modern Maulvis. Let's see, by who is it? You know, how modern. So, yeah, modern Maulvis now want to be recorded, video recorded, and they want to come and be TV representatives and, mashallah, want to come and to be videoed. And making a mockery out of the ulama. A whole page was there. And please send it all to all of your contacts. That these are the Maulvis who want to be filmed. And they are asking that our lectures should be recorded. And you will see them now in TV channels. And I said to this person, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my friend. What the ulama are doing, they are saving your skin. What are they doing? Saving your skin. Already firaqa-e batila are far away from us. The Shias and the Qadianis are doing so much work. And Bichari, the people who want to do the works, it is your, you know, short-sightedness that is killing the Muslim Ummah. Killing the Ummah. And there was this Muslim lady, again a message, oh, I don't believe why the Muslim ladies of Leicester should contribute in giving money to the masjids when the mosques of Leicester have closed the doors for Muslim women. Aur uske chehre par scarf kuch nahi hai. Aise. Wah, 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 wah. You know, when you want to, do you need enemies in the world when you have people like them? Your own Muslim community, that is why the ulama say, bhai, sit down properly. Sit down, sit down, sit down. Sit down. Brothers who bring their children, please bring them, no problem, but monitor them. I don't want people to move around. I am speaking, it disturbs me. So I am a guy, I like people to be, please, silent, not to move around. And what I'm saying, that one must not do something that will hurt the majority of the Muslims. Had this lady taken out time to speak to the Muslim community to understand which mosques have closed their doors for women to perform salah? Which mosque? A lady can come and perform her salah here anytime. No problem. The only difference is that because majority of the people that come from the subcontinent, we are the followers of the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa. And in the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Abu Hanifa says, because of the hadith in Abu Dawud Sharif, where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that it is better for a woman to pray at home because of ease and comfort. Fajr namaz during summertime will be 4:20. Are your mothers and sisters going to come in the morning here? 4:20? I'm asking you, will they come? 4:20 ko aayengi, ma? Bulao na, tu aana tu. You come 4:20. When Isha will be at 11 o'clock, will you come here at Isha? Will you pray 20 rakats tarawih? So because of the fiqh mas'ala, that is why generally we did not find it the need. And that is why also our Muslim women are not out there doing a petition that, oh no, we have to do this. But khair, alhamdulillah, people who are doing this, this is good to accommodate. Why? Because when Muslim women are traveling, somebody is here at Evington Road eating and you need the facility, they need to perform salah, the house of Allah is open for them. The house of Allah is. But for you to go out and to speak negatively, to harm your own, remember, never say anything that can tarnish the image of the people of Iman. Why, are there not enough Islamophobes everywhere that you are adding fuel to this? So this is something also, my respected brothers, very important. Muslim takeaways, restaurants should be very, very clean. What is it? Very, very clean. Hygiene. So we should set a precedent, lesson for everybody. Everything, mashallah, whatever the community does, it is the best. Whatever the community does, it is the best. So these are some of the points that the ulama have mentioned that we should be doing as a minority that is living in a country where there is a majority of people who are non-Muslims. And inshallah ta'ala, if we follow the teachings of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the benefit is that we are citizens that respect this country, that respect this country. We should contribute to this country, but at the same time we are well-wishers. What are we? And we want people to be educated about our deen, about Islam. And if they feel comfortable about Islam, then we should embrace them with both arms open and say to them, read the Shahada. Alhamdulillah, this opportunity Allah Pak has given us in this country. So media is something that is also very, very important. We must make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors of Iman and Islam in this country. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Sami'na wa ata'na gufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.